The Virtue of Hope. Everyone hopes for something, for a better life, for a respite from financial worries, for a way out of despair, or simply for our football team to win a game, any game. It's an instinct that's part of our makeup as human beings. We are all born with a gap in our lives, a longing for fulfillment, and we all seek to fill that gap in one way or another. But in Christian terms, hope takes on a different complexion. Hope is the virtue by which we desire the kingdom of God and eternal life, trust in Christ's promises to us, and come to rely on God and not ourselves. Hope is one of the three theological virtues: faith, hope, and love. They are the kind of virtues that we can't generate ourselves or work up on our own. They are gifts from God that only He can bestow on a person. Hope is being convinced that God will give us eternal life. In practice, it translates into, among other things, trusting that in all the circumstances of our lives, His hand is at work for our good. Although God gives the gift of hope in the first place, that gift can be lost if we do not consciously persevere in it. The philosopher Søren Kierkegaard says that all of us are in despair to the extent that we fall short of complete hope in God. So despair can be said to be a lack of trust in God's mercy, love, help, and power. What are some of the ways in which we might exhibit that kind of despair? One way is by being a control freak. That instinct to control everything comes from fear that things will go badly if we are not in charge, if we don't make sure everything is just right. Clearly, that compulsion may well be rooted in wounds from the past, perhaps from situations in which things were out of control or went badly because the person who was in charge was incompetent, manipulative, or cruel. Nevertheless, it still shows a lack of confidence that God has everything in His hands and that we can trust Him. Another way in which we can show despair is through boasting. Boasting is not necessarily about pride. Some people boast because they fear being overlooked or ignored by others, and in case people haven't noticed how wonderful they are, they like to point it out to them. This often comes from a lack of hope, because that person places their self-worth in the opinion of others rather than in the faithfulness of God's relationship with them. They become desperate for approval. Despair can also be found in having an obsession with your appearance or desperately trying to stave off the effects of aging. Once again, we can tend to place our hope in the opinions of others rather than in our status as God's beloved sons and daughters who are loved not for how beautiful or handsome or well-preserved we are, but because God created us out of love. There's also a certain amount of despair in the temptation to escape from reality. There is nothing wrong with reading a good book, playing the odd computer game, or watching the occasional TV show. However, if we find ourselves disappearing obsessively into these activities, then we may be in despair. God is to be found in the reality of the present moment. In fact, as C.S. Lewis says, the present is the only time in which any duty can be done or any grace received. Other manifestations of despair can come from loneliness or from crushing misfortune, where the circumstances of our lives cause us to lose hope in God's loving care. Despair is one way that we can show a lack of Christian hope. The other way is through presumption. Presumption itself comes in two forms: a belief that human beings can, by their actions, earn eternal life, and a belief that salvation has already been secured and there is nothing more to do. The first corresponds to the Pelagian heresy, the second to the errors that found popularity during the Reformation. Presumption can cause us to act in ways that deny the need for living a virtuous life. One of the ways that we can show presumption is by espousing the idea that it's okay to pursue money, fame, worldly influence, or the accumulation of possessions, even when it's clear that Jesus warns us against it when he says that it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus himself shunned the life of an earthly man of influence. The love of money is the root of all evil, St. Paul says. And what that means is that it doesn't matter whether you are rich or poor. It's more to do with our attitude to money than our actual financial status. The error of presumption in this case comes about because we place our hope in our own possessions or power. Instead, the message of the gospel encourages us to seek to be lowly, humble, and modest in our way of life. As St. Paul says in the first letter to the Corinthians, "Not many of you were wise by human standards, not many were influential, not many were of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him." Another way that we might show presumption is by assuming that, since God will forgive any sin, it's okay for us to keep on committing the same sins over and over again without feeling the need for any real repentance. Once again, we sin against hope by presuming that God will allow us to live in a state of sin without any repercussions. There are several ways in which we can nurture the virtue of hope in ourselves and keep its flame burning brightly. The first is through daily personal prayer. This form of prayer is a specific time every day when we attend fully to the Lord and is different from the just in passing prayer we may do anywhere. It's also different from begging the Lord for favours or from liturgical prayer and the sacraments, and different from coming together with a group of people to pray. This kind of prayer is literally a certain period of time, 15 minutes say, on our own, somewhere quiet and with no distractions. The purpose of it is to reaffirm to the Lord that we give our lives totally to him, to invite him to do whatever he wants with our lives, to express our love for him and our praise for his greatness, to make some sign that we return his love wholeheartedly and to allow him to speak to us. The reason why daily prayer bolsters our hope is because it reminds us that God is a real person with whom we can interact. Another way is through spiritual reading. When we read inspiring books of the lives of the saints, and especially when we read the Gospels, our hope in the love of God is renewed and strengthened. Hope also comes from sharing our life of faith with other like-minded Christians. It can be a real strength to us in our walk with the Lord when we speak with others of the hope that we have, when we exchange experiences of the Lord's faithfulness in our lives, and when we encourage each other to continue on the journey towards holiness. Hope comes to us as a free and liberating gift from God, given to us through our baptism. And it's up to us to nurture it and feed it. Our hope is that one day we will see God face to face and will be able to enter the heavenly courts to live with him forever. Let's ask God to strengthen that hope. Heavenly Father, you sent your Son Jesus to bring us hope through his death and resurrection. Help us to always trust in your love for us. Give us the virtue of hope so that we may entrust everything to you and at last come into our inheritance as your beloved sons and daughters in heaven. Amen.